But look at the zchut he has, such a grandchild. The one, the last one who spoke. You know that Rav Elchanan, right? He's a genius himself, right? Rav Elchanan. He nullifies himself to any psak that Rav Akiva gives. The last one who spoke, Rav Akiva Vozman. Whatever Rav Akiva says, he agrees with him. Rav Akiva Vozman, the last one who spoke. Grandson of Rav Vozman. Because he received a lot from his grandfather. He was very, very close with him. Before he sent him to be here, Rav. And he was still in Nebrak.
You consider him a posek?
He's a big posek.
But he's still very young.
He's young. He's Rav Engel's age. 1 year older than Rav Engel. He's 35, 36. 36, yeah. He's very young. He's a huge posek. Huge. I can't even imagine. He's very, very big. Because he passed him together with his grandfather for years and years. 12 years or something. I have a zchut to hear Torah from these people. And I don't know about the other, the grandson-in-law, the other first one, the second one who spoke. His wife is a Vozna, is a Vozna's granddaughter.
So he married his granddaughter.
Yeah, and he's not young.
What books did he say that his grandfather knew? He said
near the Tanya. All the books, he said. He just mentioned a few books, but he knew all the books.
Okay. He was talking about one Tzadikim?
Ochot Tzadikim is the one that, since he's a Bachur, his whole life, every day he had a portion of it.
Or Tzadikim.
Ochot Tzadikim. Ochot Tzadikim. Yeah. It's a small book, I have it. What? Ochot Tzadikim, the ways of Tzadikim.
How did you put it?
What? No. It's ways that a person can become a tzaddik. You want to be a tzaddik? You are a tzaddik already. What do you mean? And Chut Shech Chesed, we're all tzaddikim.
I'm on the 50th
of May,
or the 6th
of May, for 2 months. You going?
For 1 day, for 1 night, only to play them.
Really?
To my wife.
Yeah, you got a free ticket,
don't
you?
No,
it's
for 500
for 2. For 2, yeah, it's cheap now. Duh.
Just say he went outside to.
Now you can go with your wife to Uman.
He went to a tree and he was doing his brother.
Yeah, tree. Every day he's doing his brother's. So he loves Breslau very much. He used to daven in Chachmei Lublin every Rosh Hashanah, was the kibbutz of Breslau Hasidim, which couldn't go to Uman because the borders were closed after the First World War. And Rav Vozna used to daven in the Breslau.
He was a teenager then.
Yeah, he had a very strong connection with Breslau. He likes Breslau books and. He gave people always the etzah of his bodedut and not to be despair. What?
He was once
in. I don't think so.
Four.
He was?
4 years in Hakmi Lublin.
No, in Uman he's saying.
Oh, no.
I don't think he went to Uman.
I don't know.
But it's chut. For 100 years the world had such a tzaddik here, huh?
102
years old. You're young, Ezra.
One or two, they're not sure.
They're not sure?
My son said 102.
Yeah, that's it. He was born 1913, he was born. 1912, I think he was born.
Yeah.
When he passed away, was it?
Yeah. Bombed in a corner.
A few minutes after the Chag came in. Pesach came in. Tzita Kochavim was 7:25, he died at 7:30. Watch a few minutes after the Chag came in. Few minutes, how much?
100,000 people were at the Rebellion.
100,000? Wow. I was one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, I wasn't this moment. Sunday morning, I was in the north.
We learned this already. Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't. No. So, yeah. Yehudi, who are you? It's a hard question. That's what we all have to know, that a person is his brains. It's what he thinks. That's a human being. Who are you is what you have in your mind. That's the difference between one person and the other. The difference is in what you have in your mind. A whole life, a life of a person, goes by what he has in his mind. That's why people, they change from one edge to the other in their life. They change their life completely. The moment they receive they acknowledge a new idea, a new piece of knowledge. Like we saw hundreds of thousands of times, people received an injunction or something, a CD of Emunah, right? Or they read a book of Emunah, or they heard something, right? And immediately they changed their whole life. Even though physically it took years and years until they actually looked the way now today they look and this and that. But they changed their life. Abdul said the other day, you were here also. But he saw the guy with the beard. He said, that guy is free. I know I'm going to grow a beard. I want to feel free. I don't want to feel fighting with myself. I want to have a beard. Like you had a beard for years. Even before you were religious. That's like my father-in-law. The hippie times. He had a beard for years. I don't do anything in Judaism. Free. To be free. Why do I have to fight myself? And if we cut our hair in the head, it's just because there's a reason why we do it. Not because we're fighting ourselves. Right? There's a reason from Shabbat, why we do that. We leave face not to look good. That's not why we have face. I think it looks good, but that's not the reason why we grow it. Ayom, sheyesh machshevim, efshar b'kal aviv. Today we have computers, it's very easy to understand what we're talking about. That the brain is like a computer. Shepo'el al pi hanetunim shemuzanim lo. The brain works according to the information that you put into it, right? What you put in the computer, that's what the computer is going to talk to you. What you put in your brain, that's what your brain is going to spit out, right? It can be the most complicated computer in the world. If it does not have the knowledge, it won't give you the information. Finish. Where's Yosef? He understands these things. I don't know these things.
As they say, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
More importantly, it's the question you have to ask.
Yeah. And even if you have the most sophisticated computer, everything, if it has a little virus, it can mess up the whole place. And also a person's brain. It could be, you know, the whole Torah, everything, this and that. And he has a virus. He has an iPhone in his pocket. He has a virus. And go, mom.
It's a philosophy.
Yeah, something. Is a story? No. I don't remember from who. One of the guys. Big Godel was sending in questions which was mamash kfira in the Emunah in Hashem. He didn't answer, but the guy continued sending him. So he said it must be because he was eating not kosher. So he sent him a letter, check the shechtim in your city. Check the butcher in your city. And they checked and he saw he was doing things wrong.
Like Ahmed, when he was in
the palace. Elisha Achre, yeah. Right. Okay. From here we see the importance of learning Torah, be'iyun, deeply, deep understanding, until you actually know the Torah with complete knowledge. Because every knowledge a person has in Torah, it becomes part of him, part of his brain. And he becomes the Torah. Like it says in the Pasuk, Zot HaTorah Adam. It's hinted. This is the Torah, a man. It says there, a man which dies in a tent, and the whole story over there with Paraduma. But if you cut up the pasuk differently, you say, this is the Torah, man. Man can be the Torah itself. Okay? That's all. Rabbeinu writes Sefer Amidot that every knowledge a person has in the Torah, it's the success of his nefesh, of his soul. Of course, because then he has good knowledge in his brain, so he's healthy. Okay? That's how we see clearly that all the questions and the doubts that we have, who do we go ask? A professor. Even a professor will tell you to do an operation, who do you go ask? A tzaddik. You go to a rav, you go to a tzaddik. You don't do anything the doctor says without asking a rav. No religious person does that. Any person has a bit sech in his brain, goes to a rav to ask him, is it right, is it not right, what to do? Why? Why the tzaddikim? What happened? Because their brain is clarified, their brain is clear, they internalize into their brain the Holy Torah and what Hashem says. That's why. Okay. Now, learning bi'iyun, learning deeply, doesn't only mean to learn the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Mefarshim, also, of course, that's also Iyun. But not only that is Iyun. Right? But the main thing of Iyun is to look into what the Torah is teaching me. To look deeply, like Abdul, the other day, it amazed me that he said, we sing in the song, he said from one of the tzaddikim, that we sing in the song, Shabbos, I'm gonna clean my heart like soap. So yes, he said from one of the tzaddikim, what do you mean I clean my heart like soap? With soap I'll clean my heart, not as soap. And he said, once he said, no, I clean my heart, it's still so clean that it'll be like soap, I'll be able to clean others. Okay? Where did this tzaddik who said this, where did he come from? Because he looked deeply what Hashem is teaching him from the words. Rabban was always as vaulting from here until I don't know where, but how Hashem teaches you from this word and from that word. What exactly does this mean? Why does it say it like this? Because you're looking bi'iyun, you're looking with your spiritual eyes, like he said, Avozna, from the Chatan Sofer, you look with your spiritual eyes, what is Hashem teaching me? That's just bi'iyun. Bi'iyun, to learn the Gemara Shteis. Of course, that's also iyun. But iyun is to look deeply what Hashem is teaching me. Okay? How do I get close to Hashem with love and fear from Hashem? How? Through what I'm learning. Like the Ramban wrote to his son in the Gerat Ramban, right? When you get up from the book, look in the book. If there's something, could you feel something from what you learned? It doesn't only talk when you learn Orach Chaim, halachas of washing your hands and keeping Shabbos. When you get up from a book, what do you take from the book for life? How do I get close to Hashem with what I learned? Okay, how can I serve Hashem with what I learned? That's what the Rav Eliyahu Mivilna, Gaon Mivilna, when he writes in his Hagdama, his introduction to the Sefer Mishlei, that all the Torah and the mitzvahs were given in order to fix your own midot. And also it's brought in the introduction to the book Chovot HaLevavot. Rabbeinu, who wrote it? Rabbeinu B'chaya wrote it? Yeah. Nachon? Chovot HaLevavot? He wrote in Arabic. It's translated to Shana Kodesh. That the main work of a person needs to be to internalize and fulfill the mitzvahs with his heart. Because to do this physically, everyone can do. Ma baya. But to do it for Hashem, with Yirat Shamayim, like we heard about Rav Ozner, that when he was in his 90s, he gave his grandson a petek, his own eyes, he said, he saw what it said. Shmur ben Rachel, Yirat Shamayim. Unbelievable. That's what you care for. People, they, my eslog is like this, like that. Where's his heart? You don't know. Which tefillin, which this? Kpedo, what are you doing? It's not besede. Wow. I heard a story about one of the tzaddikim. He went to see how they're baking his challahs. It's not his challahs, it's a matzah for Pesach. So he saw the guy in charge yelling at one of the kids over there, what are you doing? It's wrong. Yeah, man. It's not like that. It's not good. He's yelling at him. So the Rebbe looked at him furious. Why is it like that? So he says, what can I do? It'll be chametz if he doesn't do it right. The Rebbe said, I don't want your matzahs anymore. He said, why not? He said, in my matzahs, we put only water and flour, no blood. So he said, yeah, so you see, you can be medagdik in alachot, and then you can kill people. You're so medagdik. You can kill people. You kill people. Don't kill anyone. Don't put blood in his matzahs. Maybe that's what the punishment that we have from Hashem for all the years with the blood.
Blood libel.
What's it called?
It's still going on.
What's it called? Blood what?
Blood libel.
Libel? What does libel mean?
Slander. Lashon Hara.
Accusing the Jews.
I know what it means. I don't know that word means. Ken?
Making matzah with blood.
With blood. Ken? What is it? Maybe Hashem is arousing us that we're too makpid and that we're killing people. Huh? and to love each other and respect each other. Not so easy always. That's the work. Yep. Kitsu, if you want to be healthy, you have to eat well, right? So if you want your brain to be healthy, you have to feed it well. Okay. Okay. And whatever you learn, Itboledut, Chassidut, Kabbalah, Rabbi Nachman, whatever you want, Ocha Tzadiki, if it's without tefillah, a lot of tefillah, and a lot of strengthening yourself with all your faults, so without that, you're not going to go anywhere. Rav Ozna did not become Rav Ozna because of Ocha Tzadiki. He became Rav Ozna because he davened on what he learned. He fought to achieve what he's learning. That's how we become who we are. Anyone who works a little bit on himself knows what we're talking about. Okay. Rabbeinu says in Torah Kuf, Torah 100 in Likutei Moran, in the second part of Likutei Moran, they told me, Rabbi Nathan wrote this, that they told me that Rabbeinu said that from the smallest until the greatest, from the smallest person until the greatest tzaddik in the world, he can be a kasher, ish kasher emet, a real kosher person, only through Yibodidut. And you see, Rav Ozna wasn't a Breslev Chassid. He wasn't even a chassid at all. He wasn't chassidim. Chassidish, not chassidim. He was a real chassid. He did. All the tzaddikim, they became tzaddikim because they didn't bother to. Right? V'kitzur, so all the monster not to learn all kinds of shtuyot.
Teach to
order.
What?
Teach to order?
When you
hit with
this, you say.
He told me about.
They teach
but they don't teach you to do an hour. Yeah, but he said, do an hour every day. No, they say, I'm daven on it.
Not to his students.
He told people, yes. He told people. Go and daven, yeah. He told people. How does his grandson know? He used to tell people. I used to have a special tree, I used to go and pray. Also, you go and pray and ask Hashem and cry to Hashem. Okay? Of course, if he puts in his brain all kinds of nonsense, all the more so that he's going to have a kitzel. What kind of bayot in his head? So, let's say that one. That was Mutzi Shalom.